Bow Wow, what are you doing? You cannot talk on the phone.
Hold on, just one sec. I'm trying to handle some business real quick.
Listen, this was just a teen acting in a video, but honestly, it wasn't that far from his reality.
My mom is taking a six-year-old kid to a Dr. Dre and Snoop concert. I end up, you know, getting brought up on the stage, and I started rapping. I remember them bringing me backstage.
He's still going strong, just all grown up.
Ohio born, ATL raised me. I ain't from this new era. I'm an 80s baby.
From a young rapper to a businessman, he never stopped looking for the next opportunity.
I was always fearful of being one of those artists that, like a fly-by artist, like I was here today, gone tomorrow.
Rapper, actor, entrepreneur with a 30-year career.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy Bow Wow, man. Check it out. We right here on the Pulse, and you know I'm coming up live with my homeboy Bill. He ain't tell you? He ain't tell you? Well, I'm telling you. Keep it locked.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. By now, 100-plus episodes in, you know the drill. The people who are doing things, sometimes they're on tour, sometimes they're launching shows, sometimes they've just got interesting stories. And today's guest is actually all of those things. It's actually kind of amazing to be talking to somebody who's been doing this for this long and still is in his 30s. Bow Wow joins us on The Pulse. How are you?
What's going on? What's up, Bill? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I appreciate you taking some time. Does that ever sound weird to you when you've got a 30-year career and haven't hit 40?
It sounds crazy. Nah, it is. And, you know, it's just me starting so young, you know what I mean, and still maintaining to look young. So it definitely messes with folks, the fact that when you say, like, yo, like, 30 years in the game, 25-plus years of doing it, it's a blessing, because not too many people get a chance to even last a full year in this game. Where they do get a year, and then the next year, you know what I mean, it's pretty much over, or you might just be a one-hit wonder. So for me to still be here doing what I'm doing and at the rate that I'm doing it, it's amazing.
I gotta tell you, because I'm old enough to remember a lot of those years and the entire career. So when I was sitting back doing research to talk to you, I went, wow, like, that dude's been doing it for a minute when I read your age. So it was shocking to me. But walk us back a little bit. You got kind of into the industry or discovered at six?
Yeah, six. So my hometown of Columbus, Ohio. Snoop and Dr. Dre had one of the biggest hip-hop tours at the time in the early 90s. They came, the Chronic Tour. And I remember my mom actually taking me. It's crazy. My mom is taking a six-year-old kid to a Dr. Dre and Snoop concert. But that's how it happened. I end up, you know, getting brought up on the stage, and I started rapping. And the next thing you know, they were like, yo, who's out there? Like, who's there? It's a kid on stage. And then I remember them bringing me backstage. I met Snoop and Dre. We took this famous iconic picture, which I have on my phone right now. I would never delete it. It might be like the first photo I ever really took in my life. And it happened in my hometown of Columbus, Ohio. And then from that day forward, it was over. You know, I went on the road with Snoop and never looked back. Never looked back. He gave me my name, and it was on after that.
So even at six, you were up on stage rapping. So you knew even then that it was something you wanted to do?
Yeah, well, actually, I started out with like wanting to be a comedian. Like, my mom bought me like the little Fisher-Price microphone set, and I would just imitate everything. And, you know, by me imitating, of course, you see comedians do it like Jamie Foxx. It was just easy for me to copy or mimic a rapper. Like, I could do pretty much anything. And so it went from that to now I'm putting words together. My mom is playing music around the house. And what I see on the TV, I emulate and I'm trying to do it. And it just became like a natural thing. But at first, it was all about comedy. Like, I wanted to do comedy at first. But once I got on that stage and they started throwing money on the stage at the concert, my mom was like, we'll go ahead and put that comedy thing behind us. And we're going to stick to this right here. This right here is going to take us somewhere. And she went wrong.
So I'd imagine you were somebody who kind of had it and you were ready to go, because even if you wanted to do it at six, ending up on stage on the Chronic Tour would have been intimidating to most people significantly older than you. And even then, it didn't really faze you.
It didn't faze me at all. It was almost like I was born for it. It was like I was ready for it. You know, you look at life sometimes, you look at certain people and you like, that person just has it. He has it. She has it. You know, they were born with it. You know, I look at guys like LeBron. You look at guys like, you know, they just got it. Like, you were just blessed. And I feel like that was me, you know, to be 5 years old, putting words together that fast, being able to rap, recite lyrics that was actually written for me, to be able to rap in the pockets and the keys that I was able to do it. It was something that, like, it never been done or never been heard of. You know what I'm saying? And usually with kid artists, they sit you on the label and let you mature your voice and let you become your own. But me, I was ready to go. Like, it was no artist development with me. It was write his lyrics. He's going to do it just like how we lay it down. And that's that. And yeah, I was ready.
Okay. So that was kind of the discovery. But from that point to hit albums, you know, and I guess at that point they were albums, you know, so at that point to hits, I mean, you were still 12, 13, 14 and having top 10 albums coming out.
Yeah. I mean, that's all due to Jermaine Dupri at that time. You know, right then was where, you know, Snoop left Death Row. He went to No Limit. And I moved back home to Ohio, and a guy by the name of Steve Prudhomme at the time, he was at Epic Records. And he said, I got the perfect person for Bow Wow. I got the perfect person. And him and Snoop both said, I agree with you. You got to give him to Jermaine. Like, you got to hand him over. Like, let Jermaine get him and let him produce him. And once I got with JD, we talking about one of the best song, well, yeah, one of the best songwriters of our time. And, you know, his success with Criss Cross, his success with Usher, his success with so many young, talented artists, it was almost like a why not? It was going to be a hit. And once I got with Jermaine, it was game over. He knew it. Like, I know what to give him. I know what records he needs. I know the angle. I know the audience. Like, he knew everything. All I had to do was just listen to the teacher and execute the plan. And from there, it was on. So from there, you got, you know, my first album, which now is at 4 million. I think it certified 4 million last year. The second album went crazy. The third album, like, just everything. It just became, and learning from him, songwriting and song structure, and learning, like, don't go in the studio trying to make a hit. Just record, and the hit'll come to you. Just little gems like that I learned, so I was able to continue on doing what I did. So, but yeah, man, Jermaine was everything. I give a lot of credit to Jay.
But even then, and all of this part of the story is impressive. It's exciting. It's the all cool part of the story. But you were still 12, 13, 14 years old.
Yeah.
You know, with millions on these huge tours. You were a kid. So what was that like as you kind of transitioned to I want this to I got this?
That's a good question. I think the I want part came from going to so many tours early on and just starving. I think a lot of artists have like that starvation in them, like the hungry factor, like I want it really bad. When you see people doing it and you know you can do it and you're capable of doing it, but you don't know because you haven't done it yet, it plays in your mind. So when I got to, I would probably say when I did Madison Square Garden, when I sold out the Garden like 6 times, that's when I said, okay, I'm here now. It's mine. Like, you asked for it. You're here. You're on your first nationwide arena tour. It's on. Like, that's when I knew I wanted it. And I knew I got it when my chance came and it was my turn to go.
But you're an adult now. So I talked to some of the guys from New Edition. So they were on the show and they were talking about, I mean, obviously really early success. Like, they're doing Candy Girl and things like that when they were about your age, if not a little bit younger. And yeah, there are grown women waiting in the hotels for them and all of the things going on. And they talk now about how, kind of looking back, it's like, I was a kid and all this stuff was going on. But that was all you knew. They said they really weren't prepared to handle it. You just had to because it was kind of life. Was that your experience too?
Nah, for me, I knew how to handle it because, fortunate enough for me, I had a chance to watch a Snoop Dogg. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That was the luxury of me sitting on these labels. I had a chance to watch the cats, you know, come before me, lay down the foundation for me. So I just followed the blueprint. I got a chance to watch how Jermaine Dupri moved. Got a chance to watch Snoop and get the knowledge in the game from him. So, you know, I was already pre-born, pre-taught. You know, this is what you do. When you go on the road, you know what I'm saying? This is how you move in these situations, Bow. This is going to happen. Your fan base is 95% women. So I'm going to let you know. This is how you handle yourself, the do's, the don'ts, the ins and outs. I was coached. Like, they let me know. And also, my mom played a very big part in that. Me having my mom in my life and her being my manager early on. You know how moms, especially black mamas, they don't play the radio. Yeah. So, you know, I was raised pretty well. And for me, I like, when you love something, you ain't gonna do nothing to jeopardize. You know what I mean? I love what I do. I love acting. I love running my companies. I love making music. I love touring. And I love being able to chime in and talk with cats like you. And I know that wouldn't be possible if I was out here messing up or tarnishing my name or my legacy. So for me, I love what I do. So I would never put myself in a situation, you know, or even in position to mess that up. So I was taught early.
Yeah, that's impressive, because that's not the stuff that we see about these guys. You're talking about Snoop and Jermaine Dupri. Like, we see them as these successful kind of media moguls and what have you. We don't see them as grabbing people and saying, look, like, this is the way this is going to go. We're not going to let you mess this up. So, yeah, I'm sorry. We paused for a second because we lost the signal just a little bit. I'm going to let it come back. All right, we're good. Right. I'm going to let it come back and keep going. So all of that success, you're doing tours, you're selling out Madison Square Garden, you're still young, you're still doing music, and that wasn't enough, so we're also going to do movies and acting and yeah. Everything else.
Yeah, I want it all. I want it all, man. For me, I always had this – I was always fearful of – being one of those artists that, like a fly-by artist, like I was here today, gone tomorrow. And I knew that by me being one-dimensional, that wasn't going to happen. So, I mean, by me being one-dimensional at the time, I knew that it could happen to me too. So when the acting thing hit, I jumped on it quick. Like, excuse me, like, we got to do this now. Like, why not take this opportunity and do this simultaneously with the music? And it just worked. Like Mike was the first gig that we had. And it became such a success. And I'm like, okay, well, if the first one's going to be big, if this hits, we got a career in this lane too. So when the rapping and the music slows down, we'll still be rocking and rolling over here. Now, once I accomplished both of those, then it grew to one more. Then it was, okay, what else can I get into other than just movies and the music? I got to start hosting.
Yeah.
Then I got to do 106 and Park to host that. And did the Grammys and all those type of things. Then from that, it didn't stop. What else can I add on to this? Then it became businessman mogul. Then that's when I started doing my restaurant, Prime, out here in Atlanta. We have 3 locations now in Atlanta. And then, you know, the men's accessory hairline that I have with Red by Kiss. So, and I credit all that just to the cats that came before me. Guys like Hov, you know what I'm saying? Cats that do it all, do everything, you know what I mean? And you got guys like Ice-T, you got guys like Will Smith, you got so many cats that I call them triple threats. It ain't nothing they can't do, you know what I mean? I always wanted that for myself to sustain this longevity.
When you have that level of success so early, and I pointed out, you got nearly 30 years of all of these successes, still not 40 years old. Does that add additional pressure? I mean, I'm doing movies, Michael Jordan, and I'm, you know, 16, 15, 14, whatever. What's next? It's almost like you have to keep redefining or finding something new.
Yeah, I mean, I know probably the next movie that I'll probably have done. I mean, yeah, the roles get harder as you get older, for sure, depending on what it is that you're looking for. And I know because they have gotten harder, from doing movies like a Like Mike to now having to go one-on-one with Forrest Whitaker, an Oscar Award winner, to then, you know, like, if that wasn't hard enough, then here I am doing CSI, which to me is like the Harvard law of acting. Like, if you can do CSI, listen, you can do whatever if you can get to see it. That was the hardest acting job of my life, just because of the lingo, the verbiage. It was tough. And then now I'm going one-on-one with Patricia Arquette, another Oscar Award winner who I was actually had the chance to watch her win her Oscar as we was filming CSI. So, of course, but I'm always up for the challenge. Like, I love it because that lets me know, nah, you one of them. Like, you supposed to be here and you can go toe-to-toe with anybody. And that's how I really feel. I feel like I can go toe-to-toe with anybody in any scene, any time of the day, any day of the week. So, but I'm always prepared. But yeah, you're right. It's always a what's next. What can I do now? It's got to be bigger than the last one. Like, even with the Millennium Tour, you know, we've done 3 of them already. What's going to make this one different? How can we, you know, I don't know. We got to come up with something crazy. But it's always about outdoing what I've done. Always.
Yeah. Do you think that you were part of that group that kind of opened those doors? You mentioned CSI. You know, you got people like LL doing NCIS. You got Ice-T on forever, you know, on the SVU. And those types of things. And those are roles you look at and go, how are these guys doing this? But you're all so good at it. Was it part of kind of opening those doors that previously hadn't been opened?
Yeah, and I'm glad that, you know, guys like Ice T and, you know, Ice Cube and, you know, like I say, any rapper turn actor, for you to see somebody do that, it definitely encourages you and inspires you to want to do the same. Yeah. You know, everybody doesn't have that acting bug. I'm telling you, it's hard for a lot of people to convert. You know, acting is hard for some people. It's one of them skills that you either got it or you don't. You know what I mean? And for me, it was like, I didn't ask for it, but God just threw it in my life. Like Mike, how that movie came about, it came because of the music. You know, there's like this kid, he's the biggest rapper in the world right now. He's always incorporating basketball in his videos. We got to go see this kid. Can he really play? And that's what it was. I went one-on-one with the director. Next thing you know, I got the role. I didn't have to audition for Like Mike. Like, didn't even have to audition. Just, they had me already in mind. So, yeah, man, like I said, I definitely credit the guys that came before me because, you know, if no one jumped out there first to do it, then how will we even continue to do it? You know what I mean? So I definitely credit guys like Ice Cube. That's why I always say Will, Ice Cube, Ice-T, Common even. Like, it's a lot of us. I wouldn't say I'm a part of the startup club. I would say that's more of a Will and Ice Cube and Ice-T. I would put those three as, like, the rappers who really opened it up for real, for real. And then I would say I'm a part of the inspired class that continue, like, that's keeping the flame lit. So you got myself, you got Common, you got guys like T.I. that's done some work. Justin Timberlake has done some good work. Queen Latifah has been doing it. Probably, I want to say, I'll put her in the startup stages. You know what I mean? But as you can see, it's a whole bunch of us. But I would say I'm a part of that second tier of rappers and actors because they were the first to lay it down and make it possible.
You talk about always doing the next thing, always having to expand. You mentioned the Millennium Tour. You've done them before and set the bar so high that you decide to do it again. You got to go out there and get everybody, you know. And so you'll be in Philadelphia. It's March 14th at the Lea Cora Center, 2025 version of the Millennium Tour. How did this come together and what should we expect?
Yeah, this one came together kind of, it was talks. You know, we took a year off from touring. That was all by design. I wanted to do that because I killed them in 1 year. I did two arena tours. We did back-to-back Millenniums, and I wanted to take some time off, rest, and, you know, get in the studio, make some music, and get inspired again. And, you know, me and Chris Brown are about to drop a record here shortly, and I just started feeling it again. And then, you know, I'm really good friends with Gary, who's part of the, you know, BPC, And he was like, I think we're going to rev it up again. And I'm like, you can't be serious. Are you serious? He's like, yeah, we're going to rev it up again. And I'm like, all right, well, it makes sense. We got the new record on the way, and let's make it happen. And I said, well, what we talking about? Like, what artists? What are you thinking? And we'll throw names out there. And then for me, that's when I do what I do. I get on the phone and I make my calls directly to these artists and let them know, like, yo, I want you a part of this. I think, you know what I mean? It'd be dope. It'd be dope to dance with you. I never toured with you before. And some cats, I have toured with them, but it's been just so long. So you got myself, of course, at the top, me, Trey Songz, Marion, Rick Ross, Plies, Lil Boosie. I mean, it's just going, we're giving you everything from R&B to hip hop. I mean, just expect a lot of high energy. And I've been covering the Philly, rocking Philly for so long. I ain't even got to tell them, Bill, about what I'm going to do when I hit the stage. Philly know what I'm about. Philly know what I'm going to do. So I can't wait. And this will be our third time at the Lea Cora too, so I'm looking forward to it. It's always special when we're there. Always.
So it's still fun. It's work, obviously, and there's a lot that goes into this, but you still enjoy the touring and the performances.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I put my all into my set, to my shows, the fans. I love it. I really do it for the people. The excitement, the enjoyment that they get, the joy that they feel when I'm on stage rapping their favorite records and, you know, reciting the words back to me. I mean, that's like the best feeling right there. It's, you know, the traveling is cool that come with it, but for me, it's the people. I do it for the people.
All right, so a couple of things. You talk about all of this level of success. We're talking about the tour. You've been doing it for pretty much your entire life, been in the public eye since, you know, 10, 12, what have you. And that's a blessing with all the success. Is it also a challenge because you go back and you do the research and you look at it for all the amazing successes, any misstep is also public. You know, so is that part of it a challenge when you've been doing it since you were six?
Oh, yeah, because you want to be mindful of everything, and especially now with phones and everything that's going on. And I'm always keeping that in mind. I even tell that to my guys, like all my friends, and like, they know, you know what I mean? And they're watching me as I'm watching myself. So we understand what's at hand. Like I said, I love what I do, so we never want to do anything to jeopardize what we love. So I'm always thinking before I'm doing things. And, you know, if I go in a nightclub, you know, make sure we got to exit out this way, make sure nobody following us. Like, it's so many precautions. And, you know, like I said, I credit all that to the people that taught me the game. You know what I mean? Like I said, I think that's what's really missing in hip-hop is we need more of that. We need more OGs. We need more big homies that can, you know, steer these young brothers in the right way. And fortunate enough, I was one of the ones that got steered in the right way. So, you know, like I said, when you gotta, it's different having a black mama. mama ain't playing that. You ain't about to mess this up. So, you know what I mean? Just all that good love right there. You know, that's what's been able to keep me going, keep me grounded, keep my head on my shoulders and keep it pushing.
Is that why you did something like Growing Up Hip Hop? Like, that's inviting people into your life even deeper. That's inviting people to see what goes on. That leads to questions you have to answer. But, you know, so as close to real as anybody is going to get, why right. do something like that?
Yeah, for me, I mean, it's all entertainment. Like, for me, it's like, you know, I have an interesting life. I'm an interesting dude. It's a lot going on in my world. And instead of streaming it, or well, now you get paid for streaming, but instead of going live, which a lot of cats do, and you know, anytime you get on these apps and you go live and you stream live, you are welcome in the world and into your home, straight up. So for me, I'm like, I might as well get a check from it, and I get the executive producer, and I never got a chance to EP a project. So for me, I was on board. And then, you know, I think everybody gets a taste of reality every now and then, in whatever form it is. If you have your own stream, if you have your own live, even if you have your own reality TV show, it's a gift and a curse. Like you said, it's, you know, the gift is you on TV, everybody gets to see you. The curse is you are opening up your personal life and personal things to the world for you to be judged and for them to have opinions on, you know, excuse me, on the things that you're actually doing. So for me, would I do it again? No. But was it fun when I did it? I'm glad to say that I tried it, but it was for me.
Right. I did it. Now it's over. Let's move on to the next thing. All right. A couple more and I'm going to let you go. And I appreciate you spending this much time, obviously, on the road while talking to us. So appreciate you pausing for a minute. I was just on your social media. I saw the Prime Express opening up. So tell us what's going on with that entrepreneur step. You got three of them now?
Yeah. So we got three primes going. It's crazy. So they're all different. If you ever been to Atlanta, and you know about Prime. If you haven't visited Atlanta, when you do come, make sure you stop and come visit us. It's called Prime on Peace Street. That's our fine dining. That's our restaurant. Upscale. That's your fillets. That's your lobster. That's your get your honey real fly. Y'all go step out and put that. You know, it's Valentine's Day, so we here now. So not only just that, but then we have Prime Cigar, which is connected, which is more of your lounge, more of your club style, but still grown, still sophisticated. And we like to call it, it's the playground for professionals. And we like to say it's kind of like the 40-40 of Atlanta. And Prime Express is our new addition to the Prime family. And that will be more of your fast grab type of food, but still on the top level, top shelf side. So you'll have your wings, and we'll close at like 5 a.m. We'll be trying to get the city to agree to let us close at 5. So, but yeah, that's going to be great food, fine dining that you can get late night. If you coming from the club, if you've been on the road driving and you want to get some good food, you ain't got to worry about getting McDonald's, no Burger King at no 3-4 a.m. You can pull up and get you a steak, some potatoes. You can get right at Prime Express. So, and we have one more that we're going to do. We're going to do a soul food one, and then we're going to see what goes from there.
Okay, we figure out what's next, because, you know, at some point, yeah, you turn 40, you got to keep expanding into other things. So the Millennium Tour, it is going on. It's going to all the cities. So whether you're watching on Fox Local, Fox 29, or Fox Soul nationally, make sure you check it out. All of them will be in your city. Make sure you get your tickets. It's going to be a great show. You said you got more albums coming out, records coming out with Chris Brown. You got movies coming out.
Yeah, me and Chris about to drop it. Yep. Yeah, me and Chris about to drop. Can't wait. I'm actually going to post the artwork Monday on my social media, so I know that's going to take off. So I'm really excited for people to hear that. And it's time. And the ladies, they need some feel-good music. You know what I'm saying? So they know what I'm about. This is going to be one of the ones that's going to take us through the spring and the summer, so I'm excited.
Final question. The way we end the Pulse with everybody is the theme of the show is how you use your voice for good. So I ask everybody as the last question, what does use your voice for good mean to you?
Means a lot, you know. Just hearing you say that, it feels like it comes with a lot of just that's something that I can just stand on. It feels like it comes with a lot of responsibility, and it definitely means a lot, because especially in the room that I'm in, and having a microphone and having a voice and being able to reach out to 5 million people at one click, I mean, it's definitely important that I use it for the right way. And that's why I said it brings me back to that, the last question you asked me about touring. You know, when I'm able to sing a lyric or get that person through that breakup when they hear that record, you know, I'm using my talent to get you to tap into in a different way. I want you to feel good. So it's always about using your voice and your power in the positive light, and more or less in the negative light. So for me, it means everything. And I'm going to continue to stand on that. I'm going to continue to use my voice when I can, when the opportunity is there. I know I've always used it, not even just through music, but just, you know, we did this Walk Across America campaign where we literally walked across like the Brooklyn Bridge and in different cities for when Obama was running for office. So I've always tried to find ways to use my power in the right way. And I always do that. And I owe that to my community. I owe that to my people. And I'm always going to be there to use my voice for the right life. Always.
Bow Wow, we appreciate you spending time with us. We'll see you when you get to Philly. When you get into town, let us know. We got live shows all day. Come in and spend some time,
man,
with us.
Man, you already know, man. And look, we're going to get some Phillies, man. You got to take one of them good Philly. I probably can take you to a fire Philly spot in Philly. And you there. So I'm ready. Let's do it.
We'll figure it out. Man, I appreciate you.
All the time. Appreciate it, B.
Thank you. Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with Bow Wow. He's got history, right? Lil Bow Wow to acting to hosting to he's an entrepreneur now. And I was shocked when you think about somebody with a almost 30-year career who hasn't turned 40 yet. Like, I know I kept saying that, but it was kind of sinking into me that I remember this guy in Like Mike, you know, as a kid acting in some of the hits, discovered by Snoop at 6 years old and been doing it ever since. So I appreciate you listening. If you would like updates and notifications every time another episode comes out every week, hit the like, follow, subscribe button, whatever pops up on your screen. That way you'll know. You can also download the Fox Local app. So all of our shows, I don't even know how many now. You've got to be pushing 150-ish. All of them are right there on demand at your fingertips. And go explore. There are some really cool guests. You can also hit me up on social media at Bill A. Fox 29. Thank you so much for listening, and I leave you today as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.